Today's shir is for Schus for Fu Shlema, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubis Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the last words, Ramalei Rapapa Bashmul Rab Yosef. In our previous shir, we discussed the opinion that we learned from Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Huda told us that a woman who was kidnapped, B'kudushasa Kayemis, the halacha is not concerned that this woman was violated and she can marry a kohen. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, b'kedushas kaima, is that truly the opinion of Yehuda that this woman is considered to remain in that category? V'atanya. The Torah HaKadosha speaks about Hilchas Nida. Midaraisa, a woman who has a riyah, a woman who expresses dam, is only considered tamei from the moment that we see her having this emission. Anything that happened before, the halacha is not really concerned that she was tamei. But as the Gemara Masechta Nida, at the beginning of Masechta Nida, teaches us, Chazal were concerned that perhaps this woman was that saw dam now, really started seeing the dam previously. And for when do we have to be concerned that happened? So the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, we have to be concerned either for 24 hours. For more than 24 hours, we need not be concerned, according to the Chachamim, or from the last time she made an examination. From the last time she made an examination and she was tahor, then we could be sure that she wasn't tummy before that. And according to the Chachamim, whichever is the shorter of those two times is the amount of time that we consider that are not tummy. On the other hand, the Beis Hillel hold, we always go back to the last examination. But the Chachamim's opinion is we always go to the shorter of the two times, either the last bedika or 24 hours. So the Bryce discusses Hagayirish and his Gaira. If a Gayirish was Megayir and then she saw dam. So what is the halacha with this woman? How do we view that dam? Because any dam that she saw before she was a Gayirish is not going to make a tummy, because only the dam of Yisraelis is considered dam nido, dam ziva, not the dam of a non-Jew. So Yehuda says, by such a woman, we only have to look at dayashata. We only have to look at from when she actually saw dam, and the churma that we just made as going backwards doesn't apply to such a woman. And as Rashi says, this entire halacha that we go backwards is only a churma midrabanan, and since it's only a churma d'rabbanon, we could be lenient and by this woman. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Hareki kol anoshim, she's considered a full-fledged Jewish woman. We follow the same opinion as the Chacham say, that either we go back 24 hours or to the last time she made the bedika, whichever is the shorter of those two times. There are Rishayim that say that Rabbi Yossi will agree that if we are going backwards, we're not going to go backwards 24 hours if the 24 hours is before she became a Gayiris. Even Rabbi Yossi will agree we only go backwards to the time from when she became a Gayiris or from the last time she made a Bedika, which is ever the short of the two. But there's no need to go back prior to the time that she became a Gayiris. The Rikivega asks a question. Rikivega says, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that by this woman we say Dayashata is because since she's a Gayiris, Chazal and the whole din, that we just described from the beginning of Masechta Nida, is only Chumad Rabbanon, by Gayiris it wasn't said. Ask Rabbi Kivega, why don't we just say a Svek Sveka? The Svek Sveka is that maybe she only became Tamei at this moment, and maybe she became Tamei before, maybe she became Tamei only before she was a Gayiris. So I saw Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, Rabbi Kiva leaves this question with a tzarachin. Rabbi Yashiv says there were certain halachas that were established only because of a suffix. He gives an example, the bedikas chametz. So would there be a chiv of doing bedikas chametz and is in a place where there's a sfek sfeika if there's chametz there? Says Rabbi Yashiv, he quotes the Mishnah Melech, the Magen Mishnah, who says there would be a chiv to do bedikas chametz under those circumstances. Why? So Rabbi Yashiv explains that when a halacha, the Magen Mishnah says that when a halacha was established because of a suffik, then the halacha requires that even in a case of a sfek sfeika, we have to be machmer. And therefore here, the whole halacha of a woman seeing dam, and we don't know from when she sees the dam, that we have to be machmer, was only established because of a suffik. Since it was only established by a suffik, then the halacha is, that's why, says Rabbi Yashiv, we can't rely on the fact that it's a sfek sfeikum. And Rabbi Yashiv brings a raya to his point. He says, the Yerushalmi says that by a tumtum and a droginus, who the Gemara often speaks about, and also when we would have this shaila, the halacha is that we could, the Gemara says, we are lenient, and the halacha that we just spoke about, tumah retroactively, doesn't apply to tumtum and droginus. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi says, because Chazal did not establish such halacha by tumtum and droginus. Says Rabbi Yashiv, why did the Yerushalmi have to say that reason? Why didn't the Yerushalmi said a simpler reason? The Yerushalmi should have said, because it's a svek sveika. Says Rabbi Yashiv, because the svek sveika wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? Because we just learned now, says Rabbi Yashiv, that when the halacha was established because of a suffix, and that's still where Chazal felt the need to make this rule, it was even said in the case of a sfek sfeika. And the Braisa continues to teach us another machlokes of Yehuda and Yosi, v'tzrich lahamtin shloisha chadashim. From when she became a geyoris until she marries a Yisrael, she has to wait 3 months, in order that we should be sure that the child, that if she gets pregnant, we should be sure whether the child is from the Jewish husband, and even if it's the same husband, whether the child was conceived by Kedusha or not. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi Matar, Aris Laganus Miyad, he allows right away. So ask the Gemara, the Gemara is asking a question on Rabbi Yehuda. By Giyairus, Rabbi Yehuda says, now we have to wait 3 months because we have to be concerned that maybe she had these relations and we're not going to be sure about the status of the child. So certainly by a Shvuya, asks the Gemara, where she's under the control of a captor, we should certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, be concerned that maybe she had relations with him. Why have we been learning, particularly in our previous year, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we need not be concerned about that? Amalei, to which Rabbi Yosef responds, Giyoris a Kshifka Karamis, what are you asking me a question from a halacha of a Giyoris to a halacha of a Shvuya? Giyoris, loy Abram Nafsha, a Giyoris is careful not to become, there's no reason for her not to become pregnant. And therefore, we have to be concerned. Wherever by a shvuya menatra nafsha, even if she is not going to, she's going to be careful not to let herself have relations with her captors. But now ask the Gemara. So we've successfully answered this question. But now ask the Gemara. Rami shvuya shvuya. We have a question, a stira by shvuya. The Tanya, one brisa teaches us, Hagyaris Vashuya Vashivka Shinifta Vishnishgayu Vishnishtachru Yusaris Abnai Shal Shon of Yamechad. This all happened when they were above 3. Tzrichim Lahamton Shalish Chadashim. The halach is, Devi Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have to wait above till 3 months. And Rashi points out that even though by Ktana we learned and will learn, a Ktana doesn't become pregnant, Chazal made one rule that's uniform by all women, that they wait the 3 months. Rabbi Yosi Matar, Loris L'Nasim Yad. And Rabbi Yosi allows her to get married right away. So ask the Gemara if Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a Shvuya, the Kedusha, so a Medes, that she stays in that status, that she didn't have relations, so why do we have to wait and be concerned that she maybe is pregnant? Ishtik. Rabbi Yosef was quiet, he did not know how to respond. So he said to Rabbi Papa Shmuel, do you have any answer? Here, Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about a case that we know for sure that she had relations, and that's why he will agree that she has to wait. Says the Gemara Yehachi, if we know for sure that she had these relations with the captors, so how could my time to Rabbi Yossi? How could Rabbi Yossi be lenient and not require the 3 months? Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Kesav Rabbi Yossi, Ishim Mizana, a woman that has this type of a situation, Mishameshes B'moich, will make sure that she like to sabr. She'll make sure not to become pregnant. Some say, some Rishonim explain that she'll use contraceptives before, and some say that she'll use contraceptives after. The Or Gadol asks that Tosfos, we're going to learn, Mitzvah Shem Daf Lamed Tes, says that not only is Hashchas Zera forbidden for man, it's also forbidden for a woman to destroy a man's Zera. So how, asked the Or Gadol, are we saying that this girl is going to use contraceptives? How, we're talking here about a girl, it's not that she willingly had relations, this happened to her. So it's happened to her, she's not going to continue doing another Avera, asked the Or Gadol, by causing the pregnancy to be terminated. Says the Or Gadol, that even if we're going to say that a woman also has to be careful about Hashchas HaZera, and a woman also has to be careful that to safeguard the Zera that was put into her body, says the Or Gadol, that only if it was done in the normal course of Bia between a husband and a wife. But in the case that we're learning, where a girl was violated, we're talking here about a Shvuya, then there's no obligation on the woman to protect the Zera. Based on this point, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the halacha is that a married woman who has relations with her husband has to be very careful not to move around too much after the Bia, because it could cause to ruin the Zera, and we just learned that Tosfos certainly teaches us that a woman has an obligation also to protect that Zera. Says the Gemara, that Bishlam Giyaris, I can understand a Giyaris is going to do whatever is in her power to prevent herself from getting pregnant. Because, Kivin Dadatali Giyura, she intends to become a Giyaris, Matra Nafsha, she wants to protect herself from becoming pregnant before she's Jewish. Shvuya Nami, a Shvuya as well, the Layada Heichem Mamtala, she doesn't know where she's going to end up, and she doesn't want to end up being pregnant from a captor. Shivcha Nami, the Shaman Pimara, that she, if a Shivcha heard from her owners that there is an intention to free her, so she too will make sure not to get pregnant, because she doesn't want to have a child, because we know the child of a Shivcha has the status of a Shivcha. But we also know that the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim teaches us that one of the ways a Shivcha is freed is b'shoytzu b'shayin ba'ayin. If her owner blinded her or harmed her in a way that she should lose one of her rosh evar and one of her organs. And nobody knows that that's going to happen. So Maya Kalamemer, how can we say that she makes sure that she won't become pregnant? She doesn't know that that's going to happen. That in a situation like that, like Omer Rabbi Yossi didn't say that she has to wait that she doesn't have to wait. And Rabbi Yossi will agree that in such a situation, she'll be mechuyev to wait the 3 months. Vareinusa asked the Gemara, a woman who is raped, Bemela, that happened, nobody plans for that, obviously. And Tanya Nusa Mefota Trichel Hamta Shloisha Chadoshim, Divri Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Mata La Aris L'Nasim Yad. But why? If we're saying that it's something that she couldn't plan, even Rabbi Yossi agrees you have to wait. Elam Rava. Kesav Rabbi Yossi Isha Mezana Mesapeches. Not only does a woman who doesn't want to have a child, uses contraceptive, but even a woman who wasn't planning on these relations. She was violated. She'll make sure to turn over, as we just described, kedei shloit tisabed, not to become pregnant. V'idach, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says such a woman need not wait the 3 months. How will Rabbi Yehuda explain? Rabbi Yehuda says, Chashina, we're concerned that even though, of course, she's going to do what she can to make sure that she doesn't become pregnant and turn herself over to make sure that the zera is expelled from her body, we can't be certain that she was successful. Shem lo nahafcha yafa yafa, and that's why we have to be machmer. So our Gemara just taught us that there's a halacha of havchana, that any woman that got married has to wait the 3 months. The Shas HaTshuvas Har Tzvi in Evan Ezer Chelik Aleph Simen Lamed Ches discusses a situation where there was a woman that was separated from her husband for many years, and they didn't live together, but in all these years she didn't receive a get. And now the question is, she now Baruch Shem got a get, and she wants to, and she got engaged, and she wants to get remarried immediately without waiting 3 months after the get. And the question that was posed to the Har Tzvi, Tzvi Pesach Frank, as we just learned in the Gemara, that the rule of Havchana of Shloisha Chadoshim. And the Shulchan Aruch, and even as a Simon Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, when it discusses this halacha, says that the halacha of Havchana of Shloisha Chadoshim applies all the time. Chazal said, Loi Plug, we don't begin to examine, well, we know that this woman couldn't possibly be pregnant because they were, the husband and wife were together, or different reasons. Once Chazal said that that's the rule, Loi Plug, Chazal said it under all circumstances. Says her Tzvi Pesach Frank, since the entire reason we're not allowing her to get married is because of a Loi Plug, since it's only a Loi Plug, when it's a gzera of a Loi Plug, we can be more lenient. Ramosha, however, in the Shaul Tshuvas Igris Moshe, Chelik Aleph, Simon Chavtes, disagrees. He says, any roib is a makam lahakal. I see no way to be lenient. Once Chazal said that we have to be machmer of three months, then the halacha is we have to wait under all circumstances and not give any. Once Chazal said loy plug, we have to be machmer. I also saw a tshuva in the Shaul Tshuvas Yabia Omer from Rav Avadya Yosef discusses this situation. He discusses the situation. This is in Chelik Vav Evan Ezer Simon Beis. The situation he discusses there is there's a woman who got a get. But as the Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses this halacha in Evan Ezer Simon Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, says, what's the halacha if a get was written on a certain date, but it wasn't actually given to the woman until a later date, many years later? When we count the 3 months, from when do we count? The Shulchan Aruch says that we count from the day that it's written. He says that's actually the opinion of Shmuel in Masechet Gittin, Daf Yud Ches. Ramah disagrees, and Ramah says we count from the day that the get was actually given to the woman. And Ramosha and the Rav Avadya Yosef discusses there where there was a woman who has been separated from her husband for many, many years. They didn't even live in the same country. She lived in Israel and he lives in Argentina. And they've been waiting for many years. And now she got engaged to a boy and they're anxious to get married immediately. But the question is, do we have to wait for the Havchana? He says that since this is the subject of a machlokes in the Gemara Masechta Gittin, and since the Shulchan Aruch seems to take the lenient opinion, the Ramah is more machmer. Under these circumstances, he says we could maybe rely on the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. He also adds into the conversation that this woman, the chassan, the new chassan is a Sfardi who has to only follow the opinion of the of the Shulchan Aruch, who's more lenient in this than the Shulchan Aruch, than the Ramah, and therefore under the extenuating circumstances, that we could be more like lenient. The Shem Tzvan Ba'alocha discusses a situation that if a man were living together, not having had Chuppah Kedushin, and now they want to properly get married. What is the halacha? Do they have to wait three months or not? Says the Gemara, that says the Shem Tzvan Ba'alocha, that since this couple was married during this, was living together, and even though they were living together, so even if she's pregnant, she's pregnant from this man, the halacha is that they still, the Aruch HaShulchan says this as well, they should still wait the 3 months. Once Chazal said that you have to wait 3 months, the halacha is you have to wait 3 months under all circumstances. There's another interesting shaila where somebody gave a couple, somebody gave his wife a get, and then many months or maybe even longer later than that, a question came up about the kashrus of that get, and they gave another get. Do you have to wait 3 months after the second get, or do you have? Can you, since the first get was given, and they lived as if they were divorced, you could count from the first get, even though it wasn't a kosher get. The Paiskim want to differentiate whether the first get was certainly not a good get versus when there's a question on the first get. If the first get was certainly not a good get, so we have to count from the second get. If, however, it's only a question on the first get, and maybe the first get is a good get, then the halacha is that we could be maybe more lenient. The other case where the Paiskim are lenient is in a situation where it's a machzik rishasai, where somebody divorced his wife, and then under the proper halakhic conditions, that means he's not a kohen, and it means that she didn't marry someone else in between, they want to get remarried, their halacha is that we don't have to wait the 3 months. The Mishnah taught us a halacha that we discussed extensively over the last number of shiurim, the halacha of Kimlei B'dim Rabbanei. And the Mishnah said that the Torah says, V'lo yi'asin anish anish. The Torah HaKadosh speaks about a case where two men are fighting and a pregnant woman passes by and she's the one that hits. So the Torah says, V'lo yi'asin, if nobody dies, so there's no chiv misa, anish anish. That's when they have to pay the value of those children. From here we learn that if somebody died, so we wouldn't pay money because we say Kimlei Midrabanei. Ask the Gemara, is this the source for the halacha of Kimlei Midrabanei? For ha mahach nachka, don't we learn it from a pasuk that we also mention in our shiur? Mehasanafkam, the pasuk says, V'pilai shayfit v'koyel afanav kadei rishasai, and we learn from the mishum risha achas atam chayvai v'atam chayv mishum rishayis. We only give one punishment, not two punishments. So what is the source for Kimlei Midrabanei? Answers the Gemara, Chadav Amisim Mammon, the Chadav Amakas Mammon. There's need for two psukim. The Pasuk of Lo Yir Osun is speaking where there's a Chiv Misa and a Chiv Tashlumim. And the Pasuk of Ketei Rishasai is speaking where there's a Chiv Malkus and a Chiv Tashlumim. The Tzricha. And we need to have two psukim. The Yashmin Misa Mammon, if we would have only learned this halacha by Misa Mammon, Mishum the Ika Ibn Shamba. Since the person is getting killed, the most serious punishment we could give to an individual, that's why the halacha is that we don't give tashlumen. Aval, Malkus Mammon, in a situation of Malkus Mammon, the Leka Ibn Shamba, there's only Malkus. Nobody's getting killed. Emeloi, maybe we shouldn't say Kimlei B'Rabanei. That's why we need the Pasuk with Kedei Rishasai. V'yashmin Malkus Mammon, if we only had the Pasuk of Malkus Mammon, Shem Lechama Esurei, it's not such a serious Aveira. And that's why we could say Kimlei B'Rabanei. Avam Misa U'Mammon, when somebody did such a serious Aveira, for which he's Chayiv Misa, the Chama Esurei, Emeloi, maybe there we shouldn't apply the concept of kimalei d'rabbanei tzricha, that's why we needed to have two psukim. But ask the Gemara, Ula Rameyer, according to the opinion of Rameyer, Dama, that we've learned his opinion is, like the Mishalim, that when the two punishments are one is Malkus and one is Tashlumim, his opinion is that you did get both punishments, so why do we need two psukim? Tarte, Lomeli, answers the Gemara, Chadra Misa Mamin, we need one pasuk for Misa Mamin, for Chadra Misa Malkus, we need another pasuk for Misa Malkus. And why do we need two psukim? Betzricha, the Yashmin and Misa Mamin, Mishum the Chadra Gufa, the Chadra Mina Loy Avdinin, to do one punishment that will affect the Guf and one that will affect the Shlumim, that we won't do. Aval, in a situation where a person did an Aveira, which brings with it Misa or Malkus, the Ide Vide Gufe, the both punishments that are affecting the person, Eima Misa Arichtahi, maybe it should be considered one long Misa, the Neved Bey, and we should do both punishments. V'yashminin, or we can make a counter argument. Misa Malkus, the Tate Begufe, two punishments on the person himself, Loy Avdinin. Ava Misa Mamin, one is on the person's body and one is reflecting his pocketbook of his money. There we shouldn't say kimle b'drabnei. That's why it's tzricha. So ask Tosfos, the Remaskel v'chadav. Now we've explained how Ramei is going to teach us that both by Misa Mamon and Misa Malkus we say kimle b'drabnei. But according to the Rabbanan that we just learned earlier, that they say Kimleib Rabbanei, both by Misu Mamin and both by Malkus Mamin. And the Gemara on the bottom of Amun Aleph taught us we need two psukim that we say Kimleib Rabbanei. So the question is, why, where will they learn this halacha that by Misu Malkus we also say Kimleib Rabbanei? Says Tosfos, there's no question that somebody who has Misa or Malkus should have to have Malkus. The Misa incorporates the Malkus. And since the Misa incorporates the Malkus, it's self-understood we don't give the Malkus, the Misa will cover it. So now we've learned that in a person who's Chayiv Misa Umamin, everybody agrees that we say Kimle d'Rabbanei. Ask the Gemara. The pasuk says, "V'lo sichu kefesh kaifer lenefesh retzeach ashurash lemes kimos yomus." The Torah seems to be teaching us that we don't have to, that we don't take any payment for somebody who's chayiv misa. But ask the Gemara, "Lomeli, we just finished learning that there's a din of kimle b'drabbanei, and if there's a din of kimle b'drabbanei, of course we won't take payment because he's chayiv misa." Answers the Gemara. The pasuk is coming to teach us a different halacha. Dam Rachman, the Torah is teaching us, don't take money from a person who's chayiv misa v'tiftra mektala and think that by receiving payment he won't be chayiv misa. The halacha is, if he's chayiv misa, money won't be able to cover it. Ask the Gemara, but there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, loisichu kaifer lanus alir mekalatai. That the pasuk teaches us that if somebody killed somebody else b'shagig, he has to go to the Ari Miklat, he has to go to Galus, and we don't take any money. So ask the Gemara, we already learned that you don't give two punishments. So why did the Torah tell us that if a person's chayiv Galus, he doesn't have to pay? Of course, Kimle b'drabbanei teaches us that he should go to Galus and not pay. Answers the Gemara. The pasuk is teaching us, Dam Rachmana, the Torah is teaching us, Lysishkul Mamanimene, don't take a payment, the Tiftri Minagolus, and like that he won't have to go to Golus. So ask the Gemara. So we've just learned, two psukim, that paying won't absolve you. One by the Chiv Misa, and one by the Chiv Golus. So ask the Gemara, Treikra Lomeli, why do we need two psukim to teach us these two halachas? Answers the Gemara, Chad B'Shag V'Chad B'Mezid. The tzricha, the yashmin amazed, b'shem d'chame esurei. Somebody who did a very amazed, he did a very serious aveira, and certainly payment can't cover that. Avol shogig d'loy chame esurei, which is not such a serious aveira, emaloi. Maybe we could think that money could cover the the punishment. No one's getting killed. So of course, we won't let him off the hook, and he has to go to Golos. Avo mezit, dika ebin neshama, that somebody's going to get killed. Maybe we should do something to avoid him getting killed and take payment to save him from getting killed. That's why emaloi, and we won't, and we'll accept payment. That's why tzricha, we needed to have both psukim. The pasuk says, "Ula'aretz la'yichup la'dama she'shufch bay ki'im bedab shafchay." The halacha is that a person who murders someone has to be murdered, not anything else. Ask and not take payment. But ask the Gemara, we've already learned that payment can't cover that sin. So lamali, why do we need another pasuk? Answers the Gemara, we need it for another reason. We know that the Torah says that if a corpse is found, and we don't know who killed it, so we go through the entire process of Egla Rufa. So says the Gemara, how do you know if he went through its process? And then the murderer was identified. We won't absolve him. He'll get the punishment that he deserves. So I saw that the Sefer Sheris Nosim asked the question, why would we think that just because we went through the process of Egla Rufa and the murderer was then found, that he should be off the hook? Of course he can't be off the hook. He did something and he deserves a punishment. Why should he be off the hook? So the Sheris Nosim teaches us that we don't necessarily have the correct perspective to understanding what punishment means. We're used to understanding that what a punishment means is that the person did something wrong and he needs to get punished. Says the Sheris Nosim, that's not what punishment is about. Punishment brings a kapara to the world. That's the purpose of the punishment. And if this person, if we did the process of Egla Rufa, we would think whatever kapara is required in this world because of that has happened. And therefore, there should be no reason to house or have to punish this person. That's why the Torah tells us, no, we still have to go through it. The pasuk says, "V'ata tedvar stam hanoki mikabecha." Lomeli, what does the Torah say? What does the Torah have to say that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, "M'bayle l'chetanya." It's needed to teach us the following halacha: "M'nai l'mumsim b'sayif." How do we know that somebody's punishment is a misis sayif shubitzaver? That the way we administer it is by cutting his, by the neck. Tamalayma, the pasuk says, the Torah says this pasuk right next to the parsha of Egla Rufa. Hukshu kol sheikh v'dam, all murderers who are chayiv sayif are compared to the din of Egla Rufa. Malahalan, just like when we killed Egla Rufa, it's decapitated minatzaver from the neck. Af sheikh v'damim are always decapitated minatzaver. So ask the Gemara, if we're learning the misa sayif from Egla Rufa, then maybe the halacha ought to be im alahalim bekupitz. The halacha, the way a Egla Rufa is decapitated, is we use an axe or memul orif in the back of the neck. Afkan, here too, the way to do sayif is bekupitz memul orif. Am Rav Nachman, am Rabbi Baravua, am Akra. The Torah says v'haftal reach kamaicha, and the Torah says baraloi misa yofa. It's I have to reach kamaicha is to do it in a merciful way, and killing him with an axe from his back is certainly not baraloi misa yofa, and that's what the Torah is saying. The way we should treat the Taisa says the way to learn this gemara is I have to l'ra'acha kamaicha, that even if a person is a bad person, we have to be kind to him in the way we kill him. So the Shita asks, not with Taisus Pshat, but the Shita asks that how can we call this person who's a murderer, that we're killing him because he's a murderer, that how can we call him Reyacha and apply the halacha of a haftal racha kamaicha? So the Shita's first Torah is like we just quoted, that the Torah is saying not Reyacha, Ra'acha, that even if he's a bad person, we should kill him in a not in a gruesome fashion. Another teretz that is offered is that with the Misa, as we just said, the Misa, the Einish, brings the Kapara. So once he dies, he's not anymore a Rasha. And that's why he's considered Reyacha. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us that before a person who's sentenced to death and is actually killed, we encourage him to do tshuva. So even though we encourage him to do tshuva and he does the tshuva, that doesn't absolve him from his death sentence. But because he's done the tshuva, he's no longer considered a rasha. Because once he does the tshuva, he's considered reyacha. And that's why, since at that point he's already considered reyacha, the Torah teaches us that we should have rachmanis and give the misa in the most merciful way. The Paiskim discuss somebody, there was a Jewish person, Rachman Tzlan, who was sentenced to death in a foreign country. And in that country, not only do they give the death penalty, but when they kill somebody with the death penalty, they do it in a very cruel fashion. And this person doesn't want to have to suffer that type of a cruel punishment. So the question was, can somebody come and kill him with an injection in not such a cruel fashion? So it's actually a machloikis apaiskim. The Shvus Yaakov takes a strict approach, and he says that we never have a right to kill a person, even though there's a good reason to kill this person, he's going to die anyway, and we're just trying to save him from a gruesome death. We have no right to kill him. There are other paiskim that take a different approach. The Gemara say often speaks about the concept of a gavra katila. A gavra katila is a person who's certainly going to die, and the halacha looks at that person as if he is a gavra katila, that he's already not considered living. There's only an isser to kill a dead person. There is no isser to kill a live person. There's no isser to kill a dead person. And therefore they say, if we're trying to save him from this type of a gruesome death, it may be permissible. To add a complication to the shayla, the Paiskim say, and let's say the only person who could do this is a son on behalf of the father. And then we know a son is particularly warned about not doing harm to a father. But if we say he's a gavra katila, and we're saying that we're doing it because we have rachmanis, maybe it should be permissible. Rabbi Yisachar Doi from Belz says that the Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to punish the Adas Koirach, he says, Uvala Oysum Eskol Shalahem V'yardu Chaim Sha'ayla. He asked that they should die in a very gruesome death. Not only should they be swallowed up by the ground, but the Moshe Rabbeinu asked that they should not die immediately. So asked Rabbi Yisachar Doi, we just learned in our Gemara, Baror Loi Misa Yofa, that even if we have to kill somebody, we should do it in the most merciful manner. And here we find Moshe Rabbeinu, the owner of Mikol Adam, asking that the Adas Kairach should suffer such a horrible death. So he explains, as we've been saying, the purpose of an Einish is for a kapara, that the person who did the Aveira should have a kapara. And that means that they should do tshuva for the Aveira that they did. That Das Kairach, even after everything that transpired, never did tshuva. And Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that if they're going to have a death, an immediate death, they won't have the opportunity to do tshuva. And the death without the tshuva won't accomplish a kapara. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's let them be swallowed up and let them remain there until they do tshuva so that their death should indeed be a kapara. The pasuk says, by the parasha of Chayrim, the Torah speaks about somebody could make something Chayrim. The pasuk says, Kol Chayrim asher yechram min adam leipada mois yumas. And the Gemara here is assuming that somebody who's chayiv misa has to be put to death, and you can't just redeem it with money. So ask the Gemara, why do we need Lamali? Why do we need another pasuk to teach us this halacha that we've learned so many times? Answers the Gemara, Mibay Leil Chetanya. Menayin Liyotzel Harik. Somebody is being taken out to be killed. Vama Echad Erko Elai. We know that the Torah says that every person, based on their age and their gender, has a specific erko. So let's say this person is being taken out to be killed. And somebody else says, I want to donate his erich. Menayin Shloya Meklum. How do we know that that is a meaningless statement? Shenemar, kol cheir m'shiyachim and adam lo yipada. It means somebody who is alive has a value. This person, as we just said, who's being taken out to be killed, lo yipada, has no value. He's a gavra katila. Yoch afkayim shenigma dina kain, even when he's just on trial, tamalayim mina adam, v'lo kol adam, only after he was sentenced. Ask the Gemara, even though he's being taken out to death, he has this erich, because right now he's a human being that's alive. And every living human being has a value on the parsha of erach. So what do we do with this pasuk? Kai kol cherem, my oved lei. Answers the Gemara and by the Lechir Tanya. Shmuel ben Noshe b'Yochim b'Breiko Omer. L'fishim m'mun tzinu m'mun sum de shemayim. Though we find that some is chayim misum de shemayim. That their payment will be effective. Shenemar, the Torah says, "Vim shon nagachu." If somebody has an animal that does damage, mitval shulshim. V'hu'ah bebalav, he was warned. V'lo yishmerena. V'hemus isha isha hashar yisaka v'gambu olav yumas im kofi yishus olav. That the Torah says that the owner of this animal is chay misa. But the Torah says if he pays the kofer, v'nasan. He pays kaifer and he won't be chayiv misa. Yochel af b'mei adam kain, that should be also by some is chayiv misa b'dei adam. Tamaloyma cherim and adam lo yipata. Enli ele misas chamurus, shenitna shloi gigosin l'kapora. Maybe only by the severe misas, that's the halacha. Misas kalos, but misas kalos, which are not so serious, where the way the Rishonim explain what is the difference between a misa chamura and a misa kala, in a case where the Torah didn't give them the opportunity to bring a carbon chatas when they did the aver b'shoigi. And again, as we keep on repeating, a carbon is an opportunity for kapara. But somebody who did an Aveira that doesn't have the opportunity to give a cup of carbon, it's an indication that it's such a serious Aveira that the Torah doesn't give you an opportunity to have a kapara with a carbon. But an Aveira that if you did it b'shoigig, where you do have the opportunity to bring a carbon, that's a riot. It's not such a serious Aveira because you have a way out. Maybe over there, payment will be accepted. Tamaloy mekol cheirim. Ask the Gemara, but we learned earlier in the shir, that we've learned early in the shir that money can never replace the death sentence. Shmamino, doesn't that pasuk clearly teach us? Don't take money with tiftere and help him get off the hook. So if that's the case, we're back to our question, kol cheirim lomeli. Why do we need the pasuk kol cheirim? Answers the Gemara Amar Chama Isra. Sakadat chamina. Hani mili, when is there halacha that money cannot be given? Heicha de harga derech aliyah. The Torah, when it speaks about the parsha of somebody being killed b'shoigig and you run to Golis, makes a differentiation where the person was killed derech aliyah, if she did an upwards motion versus a downwards motion. If he was killed in a derech yirida, Golis is an option. If he was killed derech aliyah, Golus is not an option. So maybe when somebody was killed derech aliyah, which we see is considered much more severe, there's no opportunity for Golus, that's where money won't be an option. Aval haga derech yirida. If you killed him derech yirida, the nitish gagos l'kapara, where Golus becomes an option, maybe we would think, Ema, money should be an option to save him from Mises Bezdin if he killed someone else with Derech Yerida. Kamash Malon, the Pasuk of Kol Cheirim teaches us that money can never cover that obligation that we have if we have to do mises to such an individual. Money doesn't cover that, even when it's a lesser aveira.